Hello and welcome to the Midwest Bias Podcast. I'm KJ, and we have a very fun show today. We've got two great guests and a very fun announcement and some new experiments for the show. What we don't have is any podcast reviews. You know, those podcast reviews, they make me so happy. I don't understand, but they do. They make me so happy. So, would love to get another podcast review. Haven't had one for a while now. I'm pretty sure you can leave podcast reviews at other places like Spotify, but I really don't know. I know that the podcast review for Apple is confusing and time-consuming, so I really do appreciate anybody that takes the time to do that. All right, let's get right to our Midwest guest co-host of the day. Time for the Midwest guest co-host. She's the best co-host of the day. Yeah, it's the Midwest guest co-host. Yeah, you betcha she'll know just what to say. Well, yes, it is time for our Midwest guest co-host. And joining us for a second time, please welcome back from that great Midwestern state of Nebraska, it's Jolene Wojcik.
Welcome Hi, KJ.
Back, Jolene.
Hi, good to be with you. I kind of have a feeling that if you had scored the runs a 2.5 rather than a 4.5, I wouldn't have been invited back.
And I'll tell you what, the Hall of Famer had the Runza for dinner last night.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And?
Pulled it. The Hall of Famer bumped it up to a 4.5.
Oh, wonderful.
Because she gave it a 4 and I gave it a 4.5, I believe.
Yep.
Yep. So I'm so glad that I didn't rate it at a 2.5 now. Before we get started, though, I thought we'd try something a little different first by reading some Twitter comments that this podcast received after last episode.
Okay.
Is that okay with you? I think you'll especially like the first one from Ed Butt.
Okay.
And Ed Butt's handle is at EDB1947. And Ed Butt says, truly impressed that you both liked the Runza. Is it something we could pick up at a drive-thru and eat in the car? If so, we will try them when we pass through Nebraska. I think this was handled on Twitter, but for those that were not on Twitter that might want to know where they could get a Runza, I defer to you, Jolene, from Nebraska.
Well, I can't believe Ed has stayed in York, Nebraska. I can picture the area he stays in, that they didn't once in 20-some years stop and get a Runza as they drove by that place every time. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely great car food, and it is like the premier thing to get at the Husker football games. So that tells you how easy it is to, it's like a, you know, a hot dog. You take it to your seat and eat it. So they sell them at the Husker games. In fact, last Saturday night we were at the game and we had just come from a tailgate. So we had already eaten plenty of food and we sat down and Tim's like, God, I think I need one of those Runzas. They all smell so good. So it would be perfect for Ed in his travels to stop there.
You know, I just wonder if, you know, my stepbrother and his girlfriend used to live in Lincoln for a couple years.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if they've ever heard of the Runza. Is there a Runza in Lincoln?
Oh, yes.
A Husker football game.
It started in Lincoln. The whole franchise started in Lincoln. And it's funny, like if you go to their website and you kind of look at the history, it says right on the website, it's a Midwest thing. Chose not to go national. Yeah, chose not to go national. So it's just in Nebraska, Iowa, Colorado, and Kansas.
Okay. I was missing the Colorado. I really only remembered Iowa and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is not one of the restaurants that they recommended when we came to town to visit. But, you know, you said it's truly a Midwestern thing. And I have to say, I tried. I'm wondering if this place is Midwestern. Have you ever heard of Raising Cane's?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Is that Midwestern or is that all over?
I think that's all over, isn't it? We just got one in Grand Island a couple years ago. We were kind of on the tail end, but
okay.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
I think we were up in the Twin Cities and I think they had just, I mean, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, they got Raising Cane's and I wanted chicken. So I'm like, okay, well, let's try Raising Cane's. And first of all, I did not realize until we were deep into the drive-thru, the line was super long and you could not go in. They had the lobby closed.
Sure.
The line was so long that you're stuck in it. There's no way out. And when we got to the little ordering board, it's only chicken fingers. That's all it was.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I wanted really, I think what I wanted was Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. Well, I don't go there much because I'm a vegetarian. And so there's nothing for me. Yeah.
You can have the coleslaw, I bet.
Yeah. And the great thing about Runza is a couple years ago, they added a vegetarian version. So
I'm set now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I do not recommend Raising Cane's. It was fine. I guess I'd call it interesting. Maybe a 3. Runza was way better.
The people I know, the reason they love Raising Cane's is the sauce.
The sauce was good. Yep. I will say the sauce was a 5. You betcha.
Yeah. That's why they go there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to wait in a 25-minute line for sauce.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention to Ed Butt is if he happens to be going to Runza on a Tuesday in the winter, they have temperature Tuesdays and they always do this. Oh, so the cost of your Runza is whatever the temperature is at 6 a.m. on that Tuesday. You have to buy fries and a medium drink, and then your Runza's that price. So a lot of times it's below zero. So your Runza is free if you buy the fries and the soda. So it's a big deal around here to what's the temperature on Tuesdays and Runza's packed.
It's a perfect way to lean into your Midwestern culture right there. It's cold out, but you come on out and you get a Runza for free. I love it. I love it. It makes me like Runza more.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it, and I don't like sauerkraut. Go figure.
Well, the thing is, I think you were misled. Yeah, sauerkraut, but it's just cabbage.
It's just cabbage.
So, cabbage.
It was good. I liked it a lot. 4.5. Okay, the next tweet we got was from Ellen Vanderlinden at EllenVL. And Ellen, I had asked her a question last week if our high school had a bookstore. I don't know if you listened to last week or if you heard that, but I was pretty sure we did not have a bookstore. And she wrote, still listening, but don't want to keep you waiting. Our high school did not have a bookstore. So thank you for that, Ellen. I believe I had that.
Yes. No, I don't.
Did your high school have a bookstore?
We did not have a bookstore. Mm-hmm. Nope. And boy, now I think everybody's doing it's all online. You know, all the gear. You know, you send out the link, order your sweatshirts and t-shirts and all that. So,
but apparently the Hall of Famer said there is a bookstore in the district, the high school in our district, but I think she said that that's also going online.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, speaking of Ed Butt, I believe he asked where we got our textbooks if we didn't have a bookstore. I'm pretty sure our textbooks was just given to us in high school. We didn't have to buy textbooks in high school.
No. No.
I think they were just handed to us when we walked into this class for the first day.
Yeah. And I went to Catholic grade school and high school. So, you know, you got to stretch the dollar. So I'm sure we did hand-me-down books for years and years and years. They're not buying textbooks every year and they're just using them as long as they can.
Right. And did you also have those book covers sold like Ed mentioned last week?
No, we weren't savvy enough to do that. Okay. We just had the brown, like the grocery sack ones where you had to cover them.
Yes, same here. So now the debate last week, not debate, we talked about Rachel reported on over a thousand pound pig and Brad Weiss at One Brad Weiss. He tweeted us a picture of Clinton, who made it to about 900 pounds, Clinton the pig. He said, pigs don't usually get to be this big, but if you just want to fatten up your pig, they can get over 1,000 pounds. And then many other people chimed in about pigs. So if people want to learn more about the pig thread, it's on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod. You can just follow it there. But yeah, Clinton was a pretty, I don't know if you saw that picture, Jolene, but he was a pretty big pig.
Yeah, I did see that. We have the Nebraska State Fair now here in Grand Island. It moved from Lincoln here about 10 years ago.
Very nice.
And I don't remember a big, large pig like that, but we do have some cows that are just huge that set some records or whatever. But
do you have any 1,000-pound pigs?
I don't think so. That must be just where Brad's at.
No, that was the Minnesota State Fair.
Brad, oh, that was Minnesota.
Clinton only got to 900, so the guy at the Minnesota State Fair won.
Won, okay.
I guess if you're tracking fat pigs, I'm not sure. So Mike Kenny at MJK45039 said, confession time, I listen to most podcasts at 1.5 speed, but I listen intently if that is an excuse. I listen to your jingles at normal speed, he said. I don't understand the listening to it at a different speed. Do you do that?
Okay, I have a confession now. I didn't think this was going to come up. Mm. I have always listened to all my podcasts at the regular speed, mm-hmm. except Speaking of Tangents.
Back in the day when we had 2.5 hour episodes?
Well, you had longer episodes and I was super, super busy and I didn't want to miss. I wanted to stay up to date every week. And so I put it at 1.5. And you and Jason sound very different at 1.5. So I prefer it at the regular speed.
Yeah. Well, see that, first of all, thank you for just sticking with us. And so if people want to turn it to 1.5, just because for time purposes, which I think is the main reason people will speed it up for time purposes. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I just can't personally listen to it because I know that that's not what that person sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I'm back to regular speed on all my podcasts.
Very good. Very good. And the last one from Kim Wilson at KimWills33. She said, please let the Hall of Famer know that Michigan has 103 state parks / rec areas. When you are renewing your tabs yearly, you can add the state park pass for $11 for easy access to them. So 103. And then the Hall of Famer looked it up and California had something like 700 state parks. And
oh gosh.
So we didn't feel so confident about how many Minnesota had at that point. But I did just find out that you can add a state park pass to your tabs yearly in Minnesota too, which we're definitely going to do. It's not as cheap as $11 though.
I was going to say $11, just that doesn't sound like much to get you into all the state parks.
Heavens. No, I think it's like $60 in Minnesota.
Yeah, still worth it though, especially for you guys.
Absolutely. Oh, and then I have to read this part because, well, it just says that KJ remembered correctly that my river beer is Coors Light. So she says it's very much something you can drink for a long period of time instead of the ones with a higher ABV. So I got that one right.
Good.
I may not have gotten how many state parks are around the country, but I got that one right. Okay, well, thanks for indulging me on those Twitter comments. Shall we get to a few questions now that people sent in?
Sure, let's do that.
Speaking of food with the Runza and the Raising Cane's, we got this email from Lewis, a.k.a. Chuck. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
He says, welcome back. So what's the deal with Midwest thin crust pizza? Is that crap still even legal? What's the name of that horrible chain? Imus? And then he puts St. Louis in parentheses. 3 question marks. Marion's, Ohio? Question mark, question mark. Wait, I forget. Is that even in the Midwest? Question mark, question mark. That stuff would never be allowed near I-95. Winky faced emoji. Chuck is an East Coast biased individual.
It sounds like it.
Ohio, again, we don't need to rehash. I don't think Ohio is, I guess we are rehashing if I'm going into this. Ohio is halfway in the Midwest and halfway in the East, I think. St. Louis is in the Midwest, according to me.
Yep. Well, I don't know. He talks about the Midwest thin crust, and yeah. I don't know. Chicago's in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, they're deep dish pizza.
Deep dish, yep.
So I'm a Giordano's. I'll probably get some hate mail for that, but that is my favorite in Chicago. Gotta go there every time. And I'm always more of a thick crust. The thin crust, you can get them here, but not everywhere. So I don't know what it's like where you're at. Can you order thin crust?
Yeah, you can pretty much get thin crust anywhere up here. And so to me, isn't that just something that's all over the country? Can't anybody get Midwest? I mean, thin crust?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's just Midwest then. You can get it anywhere.
Well,
I don't know why somebody would order that, but.
Well, I don't mind thin crust, and I also like thick. I don't like the deep dish. That's too thick for me. I can't get my mouth around that.
No, I like The more cheese and the more crust, the better.
Okay. Well, I know that Twitter, I've seen probably 3 or 4 huge threads about what type of Chicago pizza to get. And one of the, I started one once a few years ago when I was in Chicago, and I believe you chimed in with, is it Giordani's?
Giordano's. Uh-huh.
Giordano's. I cannot remember what we actually went with. I think it started with a P.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being whatever was closest to where our Airbnb was. But I know people are very particular about their Chicago pizza.
Yeah. Well, and if Lewis is...
Paisano's, is that one?
I think so. If Lewis is East Coast, then he should be eating New York style pizza. And that's pretty thin, don't you think?
I don't know that. I don't know that I've had New York style pizza, and I know people that don't think there is New York style pizza. It's just pizza.
I love New York pizza too, and to me, that's a lot thinner than what I consider like a Chicago pizza. But maybe they don't consider that thin. Maybe that's, you know, hand crust or whatever they want to call it.
Then there's this. Is it a commercial right now that talks about Detroit style pizza, which is actually Midwestern to me? And I don't know what makes Detroit style, whether it's that they cut it in squares or do they put, I can't remember what it was. We saw a commercial. It looked like they put their toppings on the outs. I can't remember what it was. Do you know, have any idea what Detroit style pizza is?
No, I know there is some places that take the round pizza and then you cut it in the squares. Then they're kind of famous for that, you know, but that's not done around here. But
I didn't know that was Detroit because I have seen it around here and I do really like it squared.
Yeah.
I'm looking Detroit style pizza up. This is not something I normally do, but I have to know because there is some sort of, have you seen the commercial lately?
I haven't, huh?
Detroit style pizza is a rectangle. Now this is on Wikipedia, so we know that it's correct.
Yes, facts.
A rectangular pizza with a thick crust that is crispy and chewy. It is traditionally topped, here it is, the toppings on the outside. It is traditionally topped with tomato sauce. So like they bake it and then they add tomato sauce on top, it looks like. And Wisconsin brick cheese that goes all the way to the edges. It doesn't say anything about, it looks to be in a square. This is a Pizza Hut commercial. It looks, the pizza itself is in a square, like they put it in a 9x13.
Oh, okay.
So it's not necessarily cut in squares, because you can cut a round pizza in squares, which is what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now if I scroll down, I see St. Louis style pizza. I'm just not going to go there. Here's New York. Yeah, there's lots of pizza.
Yeah.
I don't think...
And you know what? I like it all. If you ask me my favorite food, my last meal... It's going to be pizza.
I think the Hall of Famer would be with you on that. You and the Hall of Famer line up on a lot of things.
Yes, we agree.
Yeah, so pizza, I like pizza too, just not as much as the two of you. But I don't know what you mean, Lewis, by what's the deal with Midwest thin crust. I think if there's not thin crust offered all over the country, there's a problem. I know you don't agree with that, Jolene, because you're not a thin crust gal.
No, but... But my husband likes the thin crust, so he's got to have that. So,
okay, there you go.
It's a good thing it is probably all over.
Because otherwise he'd be eating your pizza.
Yeah.
This next question is from Tony Vanderlinden, Ellen's husband. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Tony Vanderlinden, and he sent this to us on Twitter at Tony2Words. What's more Midwest, saying crick or creek, pronouncing A-U-N-T as aunt or aunt, pronouncing tomato as tomato or tomata, and then are pull tabs just a Minnesota/Wisconsin thing or Midwest? Well, I don't know if you remember, Jolene, because this was, you know, you're listening to us at 1.5 speed, but on speaking of tangents, we talked about crick or creek, we've talked about aunt and aunt, and I think we've even talked about aunt and aunt on this podcast as well. I think creek is more Midwest than crick. To me, crick is said in the Northwest where I was born.
What do you think on that one? I have a difference on that. Okay, so 40 miles west of us is Elm Creek, Nebraska. Okay. And if you are from Elm Creek, you say Elm Creek. if you're from there, you mm-hmm. say Elm Creek. And if you're not, then it's Elm Creek. And I, and actually then to the east of us, 40 miles is Silver Creek. But if you're from there, I hear people say Silver Creek. So maybe that's the difference. If you're from there, you're saying the Creek. Huh. And if you're not, then you're always, oh, that's Elm Creek.
That is interesting.
Sure. Yeah, so but I've heard that quite a bit here, the difference.
You know, we live on a road that has C-R-E-E-K. It's a three-word mm-hmm. road. C-R-E-E-K is in there. And when people say, what's your address? You know, you're on the phone with somebody and they're like, what's your address? When I talk it out, I say Creek. But if I'm in Montana, my cousins, they live right on a Clancy Creek. They call it Creek, Clancy Creek. So if I'm out there, I'm calling it Creek.
Yeah.
So I sort of adapt, I guess. The same thing mm-hmm. with aunt and aunt. I've gone over this ad nauseum that I say them both. So I don't really know why I say them when I say them, though. It's not because I'm visiting somebody. That one just, whatever comes out of my mouth at the time.
Yeah.
And what about you?
Well, I always just say aunt. Aunt. I say tomato. My sister would say a rich aunt is an aunt.
Okay.
So it's a little more formal.
Yep. I like that. Okay. So maybe it's aunt then that's more Midwestern.
Yeah,
since you've lived your whole life in the Midwest, maybe it's mm-hmm. aunt. And I've heard people say tomato, but not a lot around here. I think I heard that a lot when I grew up in Michigan. I heard tomato.
Yeah.
And I've heard that in the South a lot, tomato.
Yeah.
But I say tomato.
Yep, me too.
So I guess the answer is tomato is more Midwestern. And pull tabs, I don't really, all I know about pull tabs is they're a bar thing.
Right.
There's some sort of lottery. They're a lottery mm-hmm. ticket or something. I've never done a pull tab. They are very popular in Minnesota and Wisconsin, especially the smaller town and the smaller bar you get. I think you'll find pull tabs. I don't know much about them. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they're not just Minnesota and Wisconsin.
We call them pickle cards here. The little cards that are at the bars where you open them up to see if you get like
Yeah, they're
apples.
Like lottery, right? They're
yeah,
like
yeah.
You call them pickle cards?
We call them pickle cards here.
And what reason? Why? Do you get a free pickle if you win?
I have no idea. That's just what they're called here. Oh. And you know, the funny thing is I've been in a new job for the last 2 years and it's at a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Way back when there was a volunteer that organized all the bars here in Grand Island that he would do the pickle cards and he gave the money to the school. So my office right now takes pickle cards to about 8 different bars here in Grand Island and then we get the proceeds from it.
That's and it's perfect. So you are kind of, you know, you may not have, when you grew up, you may not have had clear book cover things that your Catholic school sold, but now you're getting that.
Yeah. But the funny thing is when they used to get the money from the pickle cards way back when, it was a nice amount. It kind of funded the office. Now, since anybody can gamble anywhere, it's very small dollars. But they like to have them in their bars to, you know, for people that do pickle cards or, I guess, mm-hmm. pull tabs. But I don't think you'd ever call them pull tabs down here.
That's interesting. So, okay, so pull tabs are not in Nebraska, technically. They're pickle cards.
Pickle cards, yeah.
I got to think they're in Iowa, though. Now, Tony's from Iowa, so maybe he's saying they're not in Iowa.
Oh.
It might be just Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Well,
you know what? I'm gonna say no to that because I swear when I was growing up in Michigan, people would go to bars and do pull tabs.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of our Michiganders can get back to us on that.
Yeah, Iowa has the full riverboat gambling, so
yes,
maybe
they don't do
the pull tabs because they can run to a casino anywhere. You know.
Yep, that might be. Huh. Pickle cards. Never heard of it.
See what you can learn.
It again makes me wonder if Nebraska's actually in the Midwest.
Don't do it. We are.
I've never excluded them. I think the Hall of Famer has, but I've never excluded Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, I never thought I'd be on a podcast talking about pickle cards from a Catholic school.
Yeah.
I might be getting myself in trouble.
We just won't. We won't tag your school. How about that?
Perfect.
And I had to throw in a "What would Jolene do?" question. Speaking of speaking of tangents, you know, this is where, what would Jolene, I'm pretty sure what would Jolene do originated when I asked the question about, you were a you were on with us that day as a chair, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I asked about bringing coffee into, bringing donuts into the local coffee shop. I think that's where it started.
Yep, it did.
And you gave me a flat out no. And so I think I know where this one's going, this question here, but I had to throw one in. The question is it okay to bring opened paint to a store like Home Depot? Well, if I'm being honest, the store is Menards, and it's a Midwestern store. I know that. Are there Menards in Nebraska?
We have one right here in Grand Island.
Okay, yep. So it's a, but I don't think, Menards, I'm very confident, is Midwest only. But anyway, if you take it to a store like that, a home improvement store, to be shaken, if you know, if you want to use your paint again or retouch the house or whatever, can you take it to that store to be shaken if you did not purchase the paint at that store?
Okay. I would say that you can do that.
Whoa.
Yep. And there's a difference.
Okay. Okay.
Because this is a service. Okay. So you're bringing in your paint and you're asking them to do a service for you, and they're going to do it because they might be able to sell you brushes or drop mm-hmm. cloths, or you're mm-hmm. doing a whole big improvement project. You're going to come back for all kinds of stuff. If you won't do that for them, then you're going to lose all that other business. And if you compare that to you walking in with your donut to buy your coffee.
You said that donut with such disdain. You and your donut.
Yeah. They're going to say, what? You can leave because what are they giving up in sales? Your $3 coffee, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I kind of see that as the same thing, because if they kick me out, I'm not likely to come back and again and buy a $5 drink.
I know, but it's a little bit different if you're like remodeling your kitchen and you're going to spend thousands versus your, you know, smaller purchases. So
here's what I thought you were going to say.
Okay.
I thought you would have a little leeway if you intend to buy your new paint there. Like, you go shake your paint, that's fine, but you're going to probably need to buy new paint, and you ought to buy your new paint there.
Yeah. The other thing I'm thinking of is, though, like, say they say no, like, oh, no, we're not going to shake that paint. You didn't get it here. That person's going to tell others. Mm-hmm. And I think most people would be upset that, geez, you're not going to help us out when we're trying to use up some paint we have. And, you know, we're not going to go there. Where I think if you go around and say, hey, I brought my donut in, and they were upset, I think most people would agree with me and say, well, of course you can't bring your donut into the place that sells pastries.
Okay. So I got two things. So first of all, how is that different than when Bonnie Burko? Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop, of the week.
When Bonnie went in to grind coffee beans at Trader Joe's, I think you told her, no, she can't do that.
Yeah, they got coffee beans right there, though. That's a little different.
But she needed a grinder. And I'm sure she bought, and I know she bought lots of other items at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
So you know, you get a gray area here.
Yeah, a little bit of gray. And I'd give Bonnie a break.
Oh, yeah. You got to give her a break. But yeah. I am very happy you answered the way you answered, because you and the Hall of Famer usually line up. And the Hall of Famer was adamant that we do not do this. So Menards is 10 minutes from our house. But we had to take, because we bought the paint at Home Depot, we had to drive to the Twin Cities to shake the paint.
Oh, I think you could have went to the Menards.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm happy that you answered that.
Yeah, you have to tell her I disagreed with her finally.
Yes. So those are the questions that we have this week. But before we move on to our next guest, I have a fun announcement. Will you indulge me in a fun announcement?
Oh, sure. I'm excited to be here for it.
Yeah, I'm happy you are too. I don't know if you heard or not, on last week's episode, I mentioned that we had some fun and exciting things coming up. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is that the Midwest Bias podcast has its first sponsor.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's called Best Rubber Stamp. So this company, Best Rubber Stamp, has recently been purchased by our friend, Christopher Giannini.
Oh.
And he was a guest on our podcast back. I looked this up. It was a while back, episode 17 to be exact. So if you have not heard that episode, you got to go back and listen. He was on with my college buddy, Sarah Kinsella, and it was, that episode was a lot of fun. So first you should go back and listen to the episode. Then after that, you'll be like, man, this guy is great. I'd really like him. And then you'll come back and listen to this podcast and you'll be like, well, he's the guy that owns the rubber stamps. Well, I need a new rubber stamp, so I'll order it from him. That's the way these things work. So I'm excited about this. I'll tell you a little more about it. You can go online and check out what they have to offer at bestrubberstamp.net. Christopher says that that website is, he said, functional, and you can place an order via the website, but he is working, they're working on an upgrade. So that, again, that website is bestrubberstamp.net. But he said the best thing to do right now is email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. And this is very important. In the subject line, type Midwest. And then in the body of the email, you can type your order or questions that you have, and they'll talk you through what you need or what you're looking for. So again, that email address is stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. But make sure you put Midwest in the subject line of the email. And then he said you can also call them Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. And Christopher said he called it the Lord's time zone, which I totally approve of.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes, I approve.
I approve too. You can call them at 901-278-4500. And here's the best part, Jolene. Any mention of the Midwest Bias podcast will get you 20% off your first order. So, I mean, you could say the Midwest Bias podcast stinks and it'll still work, right? I mean, he said any mention.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to say that.
Or, well, you could say, you could say something like the Midwest Bias podcast, they gave runs of sandwiches less than a You Betcha rating. I don't know what they're talking about on that podcast. Yeah. You're still going to get the 20% off.
Yes. Perfect. So 901-278-4500 if I'm going to call.
Yes. Perfect. And if you're going to email it, stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. And the website is bestrubberstamp.net. 20% off your first order. Now, the rubber stamps, I've had some rubber stamps. I had the need for them. After our wedding, we used them we used our rubber stamp when we sent out our invitations, so before our wedding, and when we sent out thank you notes. So I'm assuming that I've looked at the website. There are stamps, there are ink pads. You know, yeah. Everyone could use some of these at some point. So
absolutely. I'm in need right now, so I am going to be ordering.
That's
shortly.
Wonderful news. So, yes, if you do, consider ordering from Best Rubber Stamp out of Memphis, Tennessee. And at the same time, you'll be helping Christopher and you'll be helping this podcast. So let's do it. Thank you. I want to say thanks to Christopher for being our very first sponsor. So exciting.
Yay. Woohoo.
Yes. So thank you for joining me in that exciting announcement, Jolene.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Chris.
And thank you for joining me in the Midwest Guest co-host spot. Shall we get to our next guest?
Yes, let's do it.
All right.
It's time for a non-Midwesterner to join the show. Probably from the east, west, or southern coast.
Yes, it is time for our next guest, and bringing his East Coast bias along, please welcome all the way from Wethersfield, Connecticut, Mr. Bob Walsh, a.k.a. Quizmaster.
Hi, KJ. How are you?
Good. How are you? Welcome to Midwest Bias, Bob.
Thank you so much, and I'm so glad that Jolene was able to come along.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is great. I used to help out on those quizzes a little bit. I don't think I was much help, though. I that's not my thing, but I participated.
You mean you helped Bob write them or you helped me answer them in the background?
there was a small group of us that he would send test questions to see if it would be a good one or not.
Oh, I did not know that. This is okay. This is like the Behind the Music documentary style.
Yeah. And if I got it right away, they would say, well, that's too easy. Jolene got it right away. We got to throw that one out.
No, that's not exactly right. But
too bad you never sent the test questions to me, Bob. I could have really stuck it to Jason.
No, that was fun. That was fun to do that.
It was fun on my end. More fun than others sometimes. Now, Bob, I know you lived in Connecticut for many years, but are you originally from Connecticut? And or are there other places you've lived that maybe have influenced what locational biases you bring to the table today?
So I was born in Queens, New York. In Flushing, New York, which is part of Queens. I used to tell people that I was born in the shadow of the Unisphere from the World's Fair until my wife unkindly reminded me one day that the Unisphere wasn't built for 6 years yet. So,
oops.
So we lived there when I was very small. We lived in Tennessee. I spent a year on the campus of Purdue University while my father was getting his master's degree. I was in kindergarten there, and then lived in Monticello, New York, which is about 100 miles north of New York City for most of my life. I've had a brief dalliance. I lived in North Carolina for a year when I was in graduate school, and then I spent 7 years in Pennsylvania on a detour and frolic.
Okay, so you represent a little dirty South there with Tennessee.
Yep.
I mean, Purdue is Indiana. I don't know, Midwest, Jolene?
Probably for a little bit there he was.
Purdue is what? Where is that in relation to Indianapolis?
It's in West Lafayette, which I think is just west of Indianapolis.
Okay, so Rob Colpine, Swagmaster, would call that Midwest.
Yes, he absolutely would. The Hoffer would not.
The Hoffer would not.
I was so glad on the last episode that I listened to for you refer to her as the Hoffer, because that's exactly how I refer to her.
Perfect. I always want to know this. This is great information for me. I don't always call her the Hoffer, but I did let that slip at the end of the, I think it was near the end, I called her the Hoffer. I like that you call her, and you call her the Hall of Famer, Jolene?
Hall of Famer, yeah. Okay. Right. Never the Hoffer.
Never,
only Hall
never
of Famer.
The Hoffer. Okay, so am I correct with East Coast bias, or do you want to go with something else, like Mid-Atlantic?
No, I suppose it's mostly East Coast.
Okay, so before we move on, I have to ask you to meet the Karen condition.
That's right. I want to know this about everybody. How in the world do you know KJ?
So can you please explain to any listeners how you and I know each other? And Jolene, you can do that too.
So KJ and Jolene and I are all fans of the Tony Kornheiser show. And through the Tony Kornheiser show and listening to that podcast, I got to listening to the Speaking of Tangents podcast. And as KJ knows, I was listening to she and Jason take a quiz one day and just thought to myself, God, this is horrible. and said, I can do so much better than this. And so I wrote a quiz. They took it. It was they enjoyed it. It sounds like their listeners liked it. And so we went on to do that for about 150 questions before everything was all said and done.
Really?
And so I also got a chance to meet KJ in Washington where we recorded, they recorded Speaking of Tangents podcast, and they took one of the quizzes. So I actually got to record a podcast live with KJ.
Yeah, it was at Chatter, and you read the questions, correct?
That's correct.
That's right. That was a lot of fun. I didn't do well on that quiz either.
You did fine.
Yeah, that was pretty cool to have the writer of the quiz right there with you.
Yeah, it was. I do believe you brought Oreos too. So that's also
I brought great. Oreos
and Casablanca.
And CDs that you've never watched. Yeah, or DVDs that you've never
was
watched.
Was it Casablanca?
Yes.
Or is it Casablanca? How do you pronounce it?
Casablanca.
I got it right. Okay. I haven't watched it yet, Bob, but I still have it. It sits right next to my DVD player.
Well, I mean, at least with you, I have the notion that there's a chance that you will actually watch it someday. Jason's not going to watch it just to be for spite.
Right, exactly. So going backwards, two things that came up. One, you mentioned speaking of tangents, and you know, I mentioned it too. I'm wondering, it came out earlier in the episode that a certain Midwest guest co-host used to listen to Speaking of Tangents at 1.5 speed. And I'm wondering, did you also listen to Speaking of Tangents at 1.5 speed?
I have never listened to any podcast that you are on at any speed regular, because I would miss the dulcet tones.
Well, she did say that we sound different, and I wouldn't know because I've never, you know what? I shouldn't say that, because one time I think I accidentally, my finger pushed 1.5. I thought it was 2, but I guess it's 1.5. And they started talking fast. I'm like, what is going on? And then I figured it out. That's how I knew about the speeds. Otherwise, I never knew.
Yeah, I seem to do that quite often when I listen to Tony's show. Sometimes I'll hit it and it all of a sudden, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's up at 1.5 or 2 and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's hard to
get adjusted back.
And the other question I had, Bob, do you have any recollection at all as to what quiz we were taking that you found horrible?
It was the bird calls.
Oh, that was my best quiz ever. I mean, that's the one quiz I might have beat him.
I'm sure you did great, but it was it was not, with all due respect, it was not very good listening for some.
Well, I'm happy that it was horrible listening, because it led to many, many quizzes. I got to go back to Connecticut. So how long did you say you've lived in Connecticut?
Let's see. We moved here in 1986, so that for me to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived here continuously. And then around 2009 or so, we decided that we were going to move back to Connie's hometown, Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so we moved back there, and I worked remotely for about 7 years. And then we came back here about 2.5 years. I came back 2.5 years ago. That's when we moved there. Connie was having difficulty finding a job. And about a little while into our stay, she got a call from the job that she had left in Connecticut, saying that the job that she had left was open again, and would she be interested in coming back? And so she moved back to Connecticut, got an apartment, and Fiona and I stayed in Pennsylvania while Fiona finished high school, and we went back and forth on the weekends.
Yeah, how far of a commute was that?
It was about 3.5 hour drive. Okay. The car, but by the time we were done, the car knew how to get there all by itself. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to drive. I didn't have to steer.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to try something new on the podcast, and just to kind of mix it up a little bit. And you're going to be the guinea pig, Bob. I think you'll be a great guinea pig. Every guest that we have will get the same question or similar questions, but I'm pretty sure that those same questions are probably going to generate different responses and different discussions. So the first question will be a variation of the question that Patrick Moffitt sent in to the Hoffer and I that we answered last week. I don't know if you listened to that or not, Bob, but the question was about Minnesota being one of the top two happiest states in the union, in addition to Utah. So his question was, if you had to narrow it down to two things, what about life in Minnesota makes it such a happy place to be? Well, I mean, I had to modify this a little bit, because not that many people can say they live in one of the two happiest states in the country. So I simplified the question. So the new question that I'm asking you is, name two things you love about where you live in Connecticut, Bob.
So I'm going to give them in reverse order. The second thing that I like the most about where we live in Connecticut is that it is a little pastoral town. Mm. This is a town that you could shoot any Hallmark movie in.
No.
And in fact, at KJ, as you know, we,
yes,
there was a Hallmark movie that was shot in our town. But it's just this really sort of unique and quaint little town. We bought a house about 1.5 years ago, and we're basically walking distance from the center of town with the gazebo and all of that stuff. There's a lot of historical stuff that's around us in the sense that, you know, that we have the building where Washington slept and planned part of the revolution. There's a big plaque that says Washington slept here.
Oh.
And so that part of it, just, you know, that New England-y, typical New England-y sort of sense of things is, I think, is really terrific. And that's probably the second most reason why I enjoy living where we live.
Wait,
first
before
reason,
you answer the first, I have to ask, you didn't mention this. You said there was a Hallmark movie filmed in your town. I was going to ask if there was a gazebo. You confirmed that. But you didn't mention that, was it Fiona?
Fiona.
One of your daughters was in the movie.
That's right. They were actually, they filmed in the house where Connie had her apartment. She actually was in a museum piece that the Wethersfield Historical Society owns. And the first floor is a museum, and the second floor, there's an apartment. And Connie was living in that apartment. And they basically, the Historical Society came to her and said, we want to film this movie, this Hallmark movie. And Connie said, that's great. Any chance Fiona could be in it? And
nice.
So
a little bartering. I like it.
Yeah. It was a blast and so much fun just, you know, watching her. And she got to meet Alicia Witt and a bunch of other people. And it was a blast.
So that's pretty cool. You can't bury that for people. So I had to bring it out.
Thank you, KJ.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That. I'm a proud papa. And I just so that, you know, I'm trying to be modest with respect to the, you know, those things. So
I can,
no,
if I
no,
ask
no.
you to brag, you yes.
You can always brag on your kids. Always.
Okay. So what's the number one reason?
You know, I was thinking about, cause I kind of thought that, or I knew that this was a question was going to come up, and I was thinking about this and I, this is going to sound really corny and really sappy, but the thing I like most about where I live is that it's where my wife lives.
Oh.
And I know that sounds, but I actually, for a whole variety of reasons, Connie and I have spent a bunch of time living apart.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I went back as part of this question. We've been married for this coming May will be 37 years. And I went back and sort of calculated and we have lived apart of those in those 37 years. We've actually lived apart for 5 of them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep. And so, quite frankly, you know, the best part of living in Connecticut is that I'm living with my wife. It's, you know, she lives here.
Look, I mean, I don't mind corny anyway, but I just think that's lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is so sweet.
Okay, for the next questions, we're doing something new. See, here at the Midwest Bias Pod, we don't just ask questions. We ask the wheel questions.
The wheel questions?
The wheel questions. Talk about corny, right, Bob? So I'm going to spin a wheel. And whatever number the wheel lands on, I'll ask you a question from a list that I have. And Jolene has it in front of her that corresponds to that number.
Okay. And do we have a wheel sound effect?
Oh, yeah. I got the wheel here. I'm going to pull that up in a minute. So I just thought that'd be a little fun way to mix things up. So let's get to the wheel questions.
Okay.
I'm going to spin the wheel here. Question number 4. Jolene, could you read him the question?
Yes. Number 4. If I told you I was visiting Connecticut, what would be your number one recommendation of a place or a thing I should visit or see while I'm there, aside from visiting you, of course, Bob?
Well, I would do this for Jolene as well, but especially for KJ. We would hop in the car. We would drive 45 minutes north over the Massachusetts border to Charlton, Massachusetts, where Treehouse Brewing is, and we would find wonderful, wonderful milk stouts for you.
Oh, God, they were the best milk stouts, Bob. I think that sounds amazing. I mean, like I told the Hoffer last week, I'm a little afraid that I'm starting to actually like all kinds of beer now, which I don't want to be happening. But the milk stouts, I'm totally in, especially Treehouse milk stouts.
They are, they're hard to get. Because they, you know, they only have a couple of outlets, but it has been difficult during the pandemic, where they arranged for basically you just drove your car up and they put the beer in your car.
Mm-hmm.
It has not done a lot of good to my waistline. to be 45 minutes from one of the best breweries in the country.
So you do think it's one of the best breweries in the country?
Yes, I do.
And you've had your fair share of beer.
Well, I'm not in the Todd Takei.
No, nobody is.
You know, but I've had enough.
Now, I know that Jolene likes, is it bourbon or whiskey? Are you a beer gal too, or more of the hard stuff?
No. Well, I'll drink red wine, like a Cabernet, a good dry red. Right. And then I like scotch.
Jolene and I are scotch drinkers.
Okay, so maybe you could give me a quick lesson. What is the difference between scotch and bourbon?
You know, KJ, I'm probably not doing
it. I think you got to call Jenny Robbins for that.
Yeah, I just drink it. I don't know such details like that.
Okay, so no beer for Jolene. You know, before we started this podcast, I would have said the same thing. Jolene, I'm not a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that anymore. At least I can still just say, I like stouts. I like milk stouts. But I'm afraid not for long.
Do you drink any wine, KJ?
Oh, yes. I love wine. Yeah.
How about you, Bob? Are you a red, white wine drinker?
I'm a red, but we're on the wagon for a little bit. Because, again, it just was not helping our waistlines.
Yeah, I get it. Yep. I like red and I like white, depending on what time of year it is. Now we're starting to get into fall, so I'll turn more to red wines.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, we got time for another wheel spin. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Question number 2. Bob, what's the greatest piece of advice anyone ever gave you or that you gave someone else?
Well, I got to revert to sort of two rules which I've given to my children. The question has been, well, you know, how do I know, you know, if I've met the person that I'm supposed to spend my life with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have two sort of very simple rules that all of my children can recite for you. Rule number one is that they have to love you as much as I loved your mother. And rule two is that they have to challenge you every day to be a better person than you are.
Those are good.
And so,
you know, it'd be hard to love them more than you love Connie, since you just said that the number one thing you love about Connecticut is Connie lives there. That's
are
a hard one to
Are
live
you
up
sensing
to.
A theme here, KJ?
Okay, so I'm not letting you out of here without some sort of expert theme. You know, we always have our guest expert. But I think you're an expert at several things. One, we've already touched on, is the quiz writing. I also think you must be very good at movie trivia, or, you know, I don't know about TV, but movie you're very good at. But let me ask you this, because I've mentioned this event on this podcast a few times now that takes place in August every year. That's the Summer of Littles event. You're the inventor, the creator, the organizer of this event. So that makes you an organizer of a multinational one-day cocktail party expert.
Yes, I suppose that's true. I there was a point, I think, where in this past summer that I said that I was going to be I wanted Tony to declare me the official cat herder of the Tony Kornheiser show. But no, that's a labor of love and just a blast. It's a situation that I get way more out of than I put into it.
Yeah. So how did you talk a little bit about how, you know, what the event is? Most of us know listening, but how you started it, why you started it, and also like how much has it grown? As you know, Bob, it always takes place on the Boundary Water Babes weekend, so I've never been able to attend one of these. So I don't know all the ins and outs of how many venues there are because I'm never around for it. But I did request the Boundary Water Babes next year to change our trip date so I could do one of these. And I think also, I mentioned this on one of the earlier episodes, that I think it's a good thing for non-littles to go to this thing because they might become littles and see how awesome we are.
I think that's true. And we get a lot of spouses, you know, that's,
yes.
You know, people who are brave enough to bring their spouses. And actually, KJ, the whole idea for this really started the day after we recorded that podcast down in Washington.
Oh, really?
I was, you know, that was my first Jingle Fest weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up that morning. And I got a call that there was a medical emergency at home, and I had to get in the car and drove to Connecticut. And so while I'm driving to Connecticut, I'm thinking two things. One is obviously I've got my mind on what's going on at home, but I also was thinking about what a great time we had, and I didn't even get to, attend the concert. I was just, I was doing the beer tasting, and we had done the podcast, and I had breakfast there, and seen Tony do his record his podcast that Friday morning, but it was an opportunity to meet these people that I knew through Twitter or heard their emails read or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and I thought to myself, this is really great, meeting these people in person and how terrific that experience had been, and I started thinking about it's really too bad that that we can't do more of this. And the more I thought about it, I said, it'd be great if these people could meet one another. And I said, well, that's what Jingle Fest is. And then I started thinking about, but Jingle Fest is a commitment. It's a commitment in terms of time and I'm sure resources. And there are folks that have flown from Alaska, right, to attend.
Yep.
It's a serious commitment. I thought, is there something we could do that would be more convenient for people to meet each other? And so the idea of this sort of popped into my head is, well, why don't, we could do it in such a way so that people would meet locally and so the people who lived in a particular city who were, fans of the show could meet locally. And it occurred to me that was a time when, Tony was taking the summers off. And so I said, what we can do is we could just do it in the middle of his summer hiatus, which usually was about the first weekend in June or in August, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the idea came from. And so I, I got on social media and, Twitter, and I trying to drum up interest in this. And so the first year we had, I think, five or six venues. We had one here in Wethersfield, and then Ed Butt had one in where he is in Michigan in the summer, which basically nobody attended the first year.
Oh.
And Jamie and Rob and Doug Adams and Laurie Sherwood.
Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Had a venue out in Colorado. And basically the notion was is that, we would all meet at a place at 5 o'clock local time on the first Saturday of August. And the first, like I said, the first time we had, maybe 30 or 40 people all together. And then the second year, I was a little bit more aggressive in terms of my social media. And I think we had, I want to say we probably had upwards of, 10 or 15 venues and probably close to 100 people. And then COVID came, so we didn't do anything in 2019. And then in 2020, I got tired. I was tired of dealing with social media. And so I created a website that basically put all the venues out there. And by the time we got around to August, I think we were upwards of over 40 venues all around the world. We had to actually cancel the ones in Australia because of they were having COVID issues, but we had one venue in London and one in Toronto and one in British Columbia. And then and probably upwards of 35 or so, and over 200 people all told participated. And if you go to, summerlittles.com, there's an album which basically has all the pictures, the group pictures from all the different venues. And it's pretty cool to know that people got together and seemed to have a good time. And KJ, I was not sure that I could top this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking maybe I would not do it next year, or give it over to somebody else. But when you said that you were going to move the boundary border, babes, weekend, I said, nah, I'm going to do it then.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to now because
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah.
I am going to have one in Nebraska next year. So this year I had a wedding, and 2 years ago, somebody from Omaha reached out to me, some guy, and said, hey, you know, we should do one. And I had something else going, but we're going to do it. We'll host a Nebraska one somewhere. So
save the date.
I'm committing to it.
And I call that first weekend in August, is it the first Saturday, did you say?
First Saturday in August.
I call that the summer of non-littles because I am always with the Boundary Water Babes, but I always take a picture and I always send it to you, Bob. And this year, like I said, I'm rearranging it. And I was surprised to see that Minnesota does not have a venue, but I'm going to say that that probably won't change with me, because I was going to say I think I'd go to Stormcloud to Ed Butts, but now Jolene's throwing out Nebraska, and like I'm just going to have to take my wheel out and spin to try to decide.
You know, Jeannie Byers has been to, you know, she has been to the one in Washington. She was in Pittsburgh this year, and she was, and 2 years ago, she was at Stormcloud.
Yeah, I remember when she went there a couple years ago. Yeah. No, I think it's really cool. I enjoyed seeing the pictures on Twitter coming in from that evening. It's really neat. So, yeah, you're definitely an expert in that.
Well.
Lastly, Jolene, don't you think we need to ask him the what would Jolene do question from earlier?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so Bob, this was the I had to ask a what would Jolene do question.
Of course you do.
She was on.
No.
The question is, if you go to like a home improvement store, you bring your old paint there because you want to get it shaken up. You want to do some touch up on your living room or whatever. So you got some old paint. You want to go get it shaken up. Can you bring that paint to a home improvement store that you did not, or a chain that you did not buy the paint from them? Can you do that?
Under the what would Jolene do category, I would say Jolene would say, no, you can't.
That's what I thought. You'll have to listen to see what she actually said.
Oh, okay.
I also thought Jolene would say no. So now I don't really know. I guess you just dismiss what would Jolene do and just answer what would Bob do.
I don't think I would either. Though.
Oh.
I think that's a lot like bringing somebody else's coffee into your coffee shop.
Well, who would do that? I mean, I've done donuts into a coffee shop, but I would never bring someone else's coffee into a coffee shop. Okay, so there we have it. I might cut that out so that the Hall of Famer doesn't hear that, Bob.
Okay, that's fine.
Jolene and Bob, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you both. I hope both of you had just as good a Central Standard Time as I did.
Oh, this was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yep, it's just been a delight. Thanks so much to both of you.
All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod, and you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Overcast, that's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast yet. But Best Rubber Stamp is. Thanks so much to Best Rubber Stamp and Christopher Giannini and all the folks over there. You can find them at bestrubberstamp.net. Email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net or give them a call at 901-278-4500. Mention Midwest Bias, get 20% off your first order. And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it, no worries. Don't even waste your time. Really, it's fine. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
Okay, I have a confession now.